Gather round, it's time for the big pen. Hold down, kick out your heels, jump up and down, shut your eyes and whirl around. Reach out your hand, and if no one's there, grab your own hand, dance round in a square.
When you're doing the big pen, hold down, gotta have a collar you can trust.
Move.
Big Ben time, ladies and gentlemen. Here he is, Danny.
All right, I wanted to talk to you fellas today about the art of the prank phone call.
Oh, boy.
I know this was something that Corby and his friends executed a lot back in the day.
Oh my God.
I know I was guilty of it, Bob, I'm sure.
Totally obsessed with it.
Okay. Corby, even to the extent of bringing it to the air numerous times with bits. As a matter of fact, Mino and I just listened to about 3.5 minutes of the farm game. Do you remember the farm game?
Yeah.
Where you would get a service industry, somebody from the service industry world on the phone, and then he would be on the phone and meanwhile have all the sound effects on the Enco at the time ready to go and just play like different farm animals.
Yeah, trying to get them to comment on the animals.
And you had the girl from Disney World on the phone once, and I mean, from the minute, the second he plays the rooster, she goes, "Oh, is that your rooster?"
Yeah.
So it was trying to get the to get them to comment on the animals, and I think that turned its way into the fart game, and then it Do you remember the chaos game?
Yeah, where
we did it one time, and it was like every single sound effect, and by the end of the phone call, it's like literally 100 sound effects per minute.
But I named the donkey Elvis. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. There's a bunch of them in there. Elvis, get out of here.
My burrow.
Yeah, you had a burrow, too. But I was obsessed with prank phone calls back in the day. And prank phone calls, I mean, they became a little cottage industry for a lot of people. I mean, we remember the show The Jerky Boys. The show Crank Yankers.
Did you guys have all the Jerky Boys cassette tapes?
I did not. No, I feel like I missed that in particular. But I did want to go back and say one thing, which is my wife is obsessed with Burrito Jimmy.
Oh yeah, Burrito Jimmy is the
obsessed.
Greatest.
Which feels like a prank call, but
it's in
of
the
course,
family.
A ticket prank. Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So growing up out in Knox City, and I want to bring this guy to light because Corby, I think you should or will know who this person is. Bob, you'll probably have no idea, being up in Wisconsin for when all this stuff was going on. But in the early 90s, I would go back to Knox City and visit my mother when she was still alive and lived in the town. And my best friend Tracy, he still lives there to this day with his wife, and all three of his kids are grown now. But he stayed. He's one of the few guys that I graduated with that stayed and took over his dad's oil field business, and he does really well out there. But on one of the trips back, he introduced me, I guess he had a CD, a compilation CD, or he recorded it off of a radio program, a prank call character that existed on a morning show out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The prank phone caller, his character was named Roy D. Mercer.
Oh, yeah.
Does this ring a bell for you?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Roy D. Mercer was a character created on the morning show that was on a station in Tulsa called KMOD, which featured Brent Douglas and Phil Stone. Those guys did the morning show in Tulsa from like 1993 until 2012. And what their bit was is they had this country character named Roy D. Mercer, and he would call some unwilling suspect and try to prank call him and create a scenario that they were part of that he was offended by. And his whole thing was to threaten them by opening up a can of whoop-ass on them.
Awesome.
And asking them, how big a old boy are you? And trying to size up, you know, well, how big a old boy are you? Well, I'm 6'4", 220. Well, I'll be the wiry guy at about 145 down there. Open up a 50-gallon drum of whoop-ass on you. And man, Tracy introduced me to this CD, and I remember sitting there probably in my early mid 20s, just cry laughing over this stuff. Cause I guess he got a hold of it being out there in, you know, west central Texas, close to the border up there. And he got a hold of this Roy D. Mercer guy. Did you ever listen to him, or you just were aware of
him? No, I'm aware of him.
Okay. So that brings me to this, is his stuff is all over YouTube. In fact, through their run, they released 12 compilation albums on the Capitol Virgin label, and in summation sold 300,000 copies of these albums.
You are kidding me.
I am not kidding you. These things were all over the world. And I guess early on, in the early 90s, my buddy Tracy got like a bootleg cassette of this stuff.
Wow.
And us just sitting around listening to this guy just cackling like idiots over the Roy D. Mercer character. So I dug one of these up on YouTube.
Okay.
And I want to play one for you now. It's, you know, 5 minutes long, but it's all funny. And we can stop it and start it at any time. But this is the morning radio show in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Roy D. Mercer calling a guy that runs a cemetery. What do they call him? Grave keepers, whatever.
Not a mortician,
but it's the guy that runs the grounds of a cemetery, and he lives there on the cemetery, and it's his responsibility to take care of the grave sites. Well, here's Roy D. Mercer messing with this fella.
Cemetery Jack speaking.
This Jack Criswell?
Yeah.
Jack, listen, this here R.D. Mercer, you in charge of keeping up that cemetery down there?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, listen, you're the fella that I'm getting ready to get sideways of. I was down here visiting my cousins. I'm from Ardmore. I was down here visiting my cousins, and they was telling me that the last time they was out there at the graveyard, that the boys that was taking care and the maintenance over there was what they was doing was taking a leak on my Uncle Jesse's grave out there. They was being disrespectful. And I don't appreciate it, none.
Well, I find that very hard to believe.
They said they seen you out there doing it. You and some of your fellas is working on that thing out there taking a leak.
Whoever that was, they lied to you.
No, they didn't lie to me a bit. I guarantee you they ain't those church-going women, and they seen you out there. They was putting pansies on their relatives' graves, and they seen it happening.
Who was it?
They said it was you and some fellas out there you had working for you was drinking beer and telling loud, nasty jokes and dancing around, and then they was taking a whiz out there.
What's your name, sir?
R.D. By God Mercer. Now, Uncle Jesse Mercer, he's a World War I hero. It's the northeast corner of that cemetery. The headstone's got a collie dog on the top of it.
And that's here at Lawn Cemetery.
Damn right in the northeast corner over
there. Who was that said they saw that?
That's the Inez Roundtree.
Made that up.
Now, Uncle Jesse was a World War I hero down there. Criswell, he was in charge of the collie dog troops.
Inez Roundtree lives here in Cordell?
Huh?
This Inez Roundtree lives here in Cordell?
Lives outside of town on the highway.
Okay.
And he liberated a French village of Voulez-de-Loup down there in the World War
One. Phone book, is she?
What?
She's listed in the phone book?
I don't know. It don't make a damn bit of difference. There's somebody down there.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
On the run.
He's a little whizzed off.
Cemetery Jack speaking.
How'd you like a country ass whooping?
Why don't you just come on out and we'll talk about it?
I guarantee you, it ain't nobody going to take a leak on my great Uncle Jesse's grave and then hang up on me.
That hasn't happened, sir.
I guarantee
that
it.
Has not
Inez,
happened.
Inez ain't a liar.
That has not happened.
Well, she's seen it.
That has not happened. Do you hear me?
How big an old boy are you?
That has not happened.
Where are you at right
that
now?
That has not happened.
Where are you at?
I guarantee you, I'm getting ready to plant somebody back 6 foot under. I got me a pine box full of ass whoop. I'm getting ready to.
Well, you just bring it on out here.
I guarantee you, I'll cart it right with me.
Bring it on out here.
How long are you going to be there?
I live here.
You live there?
That's right. Well, I live here.
Well, you're going to be about 6 feet below where you're at right now.
There's no beer drinking going on, and there's never been any graves pissed on for the 2 years I've been here.
Well, you.
And anybody that says any difference, nothing but a damn lie.
Well, I guarantee, how big an old boy are you?
Oh. Wacky.
We're going to need us a plot before this is over with.
Morning radio.
You know that, don't you?
Cemetery Jack speaking.
Listen, I'll tell you what, I'm going to come by there this afternoon. Are you down there all day?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well, I'm coming down there today, and I'm getting ready to take care of this one way or the other.
Whatever you say.
Well, I got that uncle down there is buried with his collie dog, Roosevelt, down there, and you've been whizzing on his grave.
What's his name?
Roosevelt.
My uncle's name, great uncle, Jesse Mercer.
Jesse Mercer.
Jesse Mercer.
M-E-R-C-E-R.
That's right. And I was getting ready to, how big an old boy are you?
Big enough to take care of this, I'm plenty sure.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, we'll see when you get here.
Yeah.
You got the b- show up.
Well, I don't. And we're going to have to get him back on the phone again.
All right, this is where the jig's up.
Cemetery, Jack speaking.
Listen, I decided I called a buddy of mine. I think I'm going to stop by and pick him up on my way out there. He owns a music store down there in Watherford, and I'm going to pick him up and come down there with him. I'm going to pick... I'm picking Harold up, and I'm coming down there, and there's going to be a tag team event.
Jack. So I guess, Jack, this is Brent, man.
And you're probably calling me on my 800 number, too, ain't you?
So the guy knew who they were.
It's your dime.
Well, I think he referenced a friend of his that might work at a music store, or something like that. So, at that point, he knew the jig was up. But, man, I knew that if I referenced or played something by Roy D. Mercer in this neck of the woods, that there are people from 30 years ago that are going, oh, my God, I grew up listening to that stuff.
So in the 80s, we used to...
You can't get away with it anymore.
No, you can't prank calls.
Technology screwed up the prank call.
And the prank call's so fun. I mean, we would spend...
If you got the nerve to keep them on the line.
Yeah, we would spend... I didn't record any... We just did it for fun in high school.
Same.
And it was endless. It was... My parents would go to bed. I would go in the back room, and I would just be on the phone with my friends, a three-way. We'd have a three-way deal, the party line or whatever, and we would prank and prank and prank. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I know I've told you this before, Danny, but the biggest I ever got any of my friends was he went away to college in Oklahoma, and we called his dad at 2 in the morning. This is so sorry.
Yeah.
2 in the morning, and it's same voice, Roy D. Mercer. It's like,
I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah, I was like,
you like a country ass whooping.
Yeah. It's Mr. Gardner. This is Officer Randall up here in, whatever, Oklahoma. And we have, is everything all right? Well, first off, let me just tell you that everything is okay with your son. He has no injuries, and don't be concerned in that. Okay, well, what's going on? Well, here's the bad news. He was... apparently drinking excessively, and we caught him urinating out in the student union, and we had to take him in, and he was a little bit belligerent, and we had to put the nightstick to him a little bit, but he is okay, and he is sleeping peacefully, and we didn't even know exactly. And it just went on, and he's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh God, oh God. Then he's like, honey, JB took a leak at the student union, and he's in jail now, and he was drunk. And JB drinks? I didn't know he drank. Oh, I guess he does. Yes, ma'am, he does drink a lot, apparently. And on and on. Well, the end result was we would ask the dad, we were like, so what do you want to do? He can spend the night here, or you can bail him out or whatever. He's like, damn it, you teach that boy a lesson and keep him in jail overnight, and I'll deal with him tomorrow. So then... the phone call happens the next day.
Oh, yeah.
To JB, like, you want to tell me a little story about your jail visit? What are you talking about?
So he just sounds like he's lying at that point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, what are you talking about? We got a call at 2 in the morning from Officer Randall up there, campus police, you know, and on. And then it is...
How long did that extrapolate? How long did that go on?
Well... he threatened to kill us because he knew it was us. He was a year older than us. He was a really good friend of ours. He went away to school. You know, he was a senior he was a year up on us. But dude, it was awesome.
Well, they're like I said, the morning show with Brent and Phil on KMOD ended in 2012, and sadly enough, they had a 27-year run, and 40 days after their show got canceled, Phil Stone died at the age of 57 of heart problems. Yeah. Yeah. But man, hats off to Roy D. Mercer. There's tons of them all over YouTube.
Really?
And a lot of them are better than that one. I just picked that was my favorite memory of listening to Roy, by God, Mercer.
I love prank calls. But again, it's over.
Yeah.
The game has ended.
Unless George DiGiani drops call people.
That's true. Just that, but the phone number thing.
Why do we crap your pants?
Now nobody ever answers their phone if it's a weird phone number.
Right.
And the fact that a phone number even shows up at all. It sucks. It's ruined everything.
All right, that's the pin.
All right, good stuff, Dan. A college football segment with a twist.